To illustrate my point, I whipped off my cardigan, accidentally dropping it on Ezra Abbott, the cherub-cheeked 4-year-old ladies' man.
"Look, I'm a superhero!"
Ezra announced, lisping adorably through the space where his front teeth once had been. He zoomed off with my sweater flying behind him like a cape.
"I'll get that back later,"
I said, watching him disappear into the cushion fort. "Let's get back to talking about you. What are your plans for tonight?"
"That's one of the reasons why I'm here,"
Nash said, looking sheepish.
"I got Lena a present, and I wanted to run it by someone first. It's our first Valentine's Day, and you know Angelina."
"She's not a candy and flowers kind of girl," I said. He grinned.
"Exactly."
If it was possible for a man to have cartoon hearts in his eyes, Nash Morgan looked as if he'd been struck by Cupid himself.
"I'm honored that you came to me," I said.
Nash got that funny, sheepish look on his handsome face again. I planted my hands on my hips.
"What?"
He winced.
"I tried to get Steph, but Knox got to him first. No offense."
"None taken. Steph would have been my first choice, too. So what did you get Lena?"
Nash looked over his shoulder. I did the same. In Knockemout, the gossip ran fast and loose. If the wrong set of ears overheard us, Lena would know what her gift was before Nash left the library. He fished his phone out of his pocket and opened his photos.
"These."
I took the phone from him and enlarged the picture of a pair of very sexy cowboy boots.
"Shoes. Nicely done, Chief. You're definitely getting laid tonight."
Nash blew out a sigh of relief.
"Ugh, thank God.
Now, what else can I do for you?"
"I'd like to book one of the conference rooms for some trainings over the next couple of weeks."
"Sure. What kind of trainings?" I asked.
"Autism awareness for first responders. We're starting off with my cops, then moving to fire, medical, and social workers. Figured the library would be a friendlier setting than the station."
Nash had been working his well-defined butt off on this initiative since the fall. The whole town had turned out for his barbecue fundraiser that earned enough to equip every first responder vehicle with noise-canceling headphones and weighted wearables.
"Good for you, Chief. I'm proud of you."
Nash looked good and embarrassed.
"Thanks, Sloane." "Sloane, sorry to interrupt, but I found something in the book drop,"
Jamal said, joining us. I groaned.
"Ugh, don't even tell me it's another squirrel."
"No, not this time, thank God. My lunch was still intact. It was this."
He handed over a plain white business envelope.
"Probably one of the older folks mistook it for a mailbox."
My name was written in neat block letters across the back. We had seen our share of interesting items in the book drop. School books with homework stuffed in them, gloves, a retainer, a mangled loaf of bread that was supposed to feed the ducks in the park until little Boo Walkerson decided the book drop looked hungrier.
"Thanks, Jamal," I said, opening the envelope with my thumb. "Hey, can you let Belinda and her friends know that Cecilia won't be here for a few more hours? They don't have to reserve their seats yet."
I nodded to the crew of feisty elderly readers who were claiming all the seats in the first two rows with whatever they could find in their oversized purses.
"Sure thing,"
he said and scampered off. I unfolded the paper and frowned.
"Love letter?"
Nash teased, peering over my shoulder. We both tensed at the same time.
"What the hell?"
He snatched it out of my hand. I reached for it.
"Excuse me, Chief Grabby Hands, that's mine."
Gone was the easygoing, love-struck man worried about impressing his woman with footwear. In his place was a stone-faced cop who was definitely going to take this way too seriously.
"Is someone threatening you?"
Nash demanded, rereading the note. It was written in the same block script as my name on the envelope. "Stop now before someone gets hurt."
"I'm sure it's nothing," I insisted. "Someone probably got their panties in a bunch over late fees."
Have you had any issues with anyone lately? Besides Lucian?
Nash asked. Lucian. What if the note was from one of his former dicknotized lovers?
Ha, funny. Nothing out of the ordinary. I'm sure it's nothing, I insisted.
Nash held the note out of my reach.
All the same, a lot of my people found themselves in trouble these past few months. I'm not taking any chances, and I'm not letting you either.
Nash, it's a note, a not very threatening one at that. What are you going to do, fingerprint it and then run a handwriting analysis?
Knockemout PD didn't have a big city budget.
I'm gonna at least follow procedure, he said stubbornly. When was the book drop bin last emptied?
I shoved my hands into the back pockets of my jeans. It's supposed to be done before closing and mid-morning, but we were busy with the setup today, so not since last night.
I'll check the exterior cameras, see if we have a good angle, Nash said. In the meantime, give a thought to anyone who might be extra pissed at you lately.
Yes, Chief, I grumbled.
And I want to know if you get any other anonymous mail. Duncan Hugo is behind bars and Tate Dilton is in the ground, but that doesn't mean we should let our guard down.
Fine, but can we at least agree not to say anything to anyone else? I don't want Naomi and Lena worrying about nothing.
Nope.
Seriously? Nash had a habit of dropping truth bombs.
You've got 24 hours to tell them your own way. You don't, then I will. It's better for everyone to be in the know. I don't want anyone taking any chances.
Okay, now you're starting to freak me out. It's been months since Lena got abducted. You caught all the bad guys.
Not all of them,
he said evenly. Why would Anthony Hugo march into Knockemout to finish what his son started? And why focus on me? I had nothing to do with any of that. It doesn't make any sense. A creepy, crawly sensation prickled in my intestines as library life cheerfully bustled on around us.
Until Anthony Hugo is behind bars, we can't afford to rest easy.
Great. I'm definitely going to sleep like a baby tonight, I said dryly.
I'm just saying, I want you to be careful. Be vigilant. If anything strikes you as off, I want to know about it.
Fine, but that goes both ways. If something doesn't smell right to you, I want to know. He studied me for a beat, then gave me a curt nod.
Someone has a secret admirer, Naomi announced.
She marched up to us, lugging a case of sports drinks with a gigantic red bow. I snatched the card out of her hand, my cheeks warming.
For later.
Who's that from? Nash asked nosily.
The card wasn't signed, Naomi said. My face was the temperature of the surface of the sun as I stuffed the note in my pocket and grabbed the case.
Between the two of you, I'm starting to worry about my right to privacy, I complained.
She's tomato red and deflecting, Nash observed.
Naomi eyed me shrewdly.
My guess is it's an inside joke gift from her date last week that she's been annoyingly tight-lipped about.
Don't you both have work to do? I asked them.
What's this guy's name and home address? What kind of car does he drive?
Nash demanded. Oh my God, you're the worst. We went out, we had a nice time, it's nothing serious, thank you, and good day. I tried to dismiss them by taking my drinks and leaving. But Naomi and Nash followed me.
Are you going to see him again?
Naomi asked as we passed the reference section.
Could he be the one who sent you the threat?
Nash added.
Naomi yelped. Threat? What threat?
I spun around and glared at him. You said I had 24 hours. Nash grinned.
No time like the present, and you better update Angelina ASAP or she'll be pissed.
You're the worst. Someone better tell me what's going on immediately, Naomi said, using her mom voice. Just for that, you're carrying these upstairs to my office, I said, shoving the case at Nash. While the chief of police hauled my electro-sexolites upstairs, I filled Naomi in on the completely innocuous note. I'm sure it's nothing to worry about. I get complaints all the time, and there's always weird stuff in the book drop. But Nash wants us to be on guard given everything that's happened in the past few months, I explained.
If Nash says we should be careful, that's exactly what we should do, Naomi insisted dutifully.
I glanced over my shoulder to make sure Studley Do-Right wasn't within earshot. Him being worried makes me worry, I confessed. I'm concerned that he knows something he's not sharing. Maybe something about Lucian and the FBI's case.
Naomi pursed her lips. I'll see what I can get out of Knox.
Good idea. I'll talk to Lena and see if she can sexily wheedle anything out of Nash.
Naomi cleared her throat pointedly.
Fine, I'll talk to her about sexy wheedling when I tell her about the dumb, not very threatening note, I agreed. Even though I've had more creative and specific threats from the lady behind the deli counter at Grover's.
Isn't it nice when we're all on the same page? Naomi asked brightly.
Yeah, yeah.
Miss Sloan, Miss Sloan!
Ezra was back, still wearing my cardigan and now waving what looked like a scroll.
Hey, buddy, I greeted.
I made this for you.
He shoved the paper at me. It was tied in the middle with a red string. Behind me, Naomi made an aw noise.
For me? Wow, thanks, Ezra. That is so sweet of you, I said, carefully untying the string before unrolling the parchment paper.
That's you and that's me. We're pirates, just like that book we read, and that's the library on our pirate ship. See on the books, and here's the X for the treasure.
He pointed out each element of the 3-foot-long crayon and marker drawing. Stick figure Ezra had 1 arm and 4 feet. My ponytail was green to match the hearts he'd sketched above and below the books.
The cutest! I'm dying! Naomi whisper squealed.
Do you like it?
Ezra asked hopefully.
I love it, I said, unable to resist the urge to boop his nose. It's amazing, and so are you.
He flashed me a coy, tooth-deficient grin.
You could hang it up if you wanted.
I'm going to hang it up in my office so I can see it every day, I promised.
Awesome! Happy Valentine's Day!
Happy Valentine's Day, Ezra.
He launched himself into my arms for the kind of hard, sticky, heart-melting hug that only kids under the age of 6 gave, then made a beeline for the pillow fort again.
My heart, Naomi said. He's Galen Isaac's new foster son, isn't he?
He is. I watched him here for 30 minutes when Gal had to leave for a pet store emergency the other day. We read 2 pirate books, and he drew pictures for his new big sister.
It looks like you made quite the impression, Naomi said, tapping the drawing.
Me or the pirates?
You're going to be a great mom, she said.
Her words punched me right in the heart.
Thanks, I said. You already are.
She leaned in and caught me in the kind of soft, spontaneous hug sisters exchanged.
We're going to raise our families together, she whispered in my ear.
I was gone 3 minutes. What the hell has you two ready to bawl your eyes out?
Nash demanded, looking around the first floor of the library for obvious threats.
Girl stuff, I insisted.
Sloane's a pirate,
Naomi said with a sniffle.
I don't want to know,
Nash decided. Naomi released me with a watery smile.
I'm going to go do something library related.
She gave Nash a peck on the cheek and headed for the stairs. Nash pulled out his phone.
What are you doing? I asked nosily.
Telling my brother that whatever he's buying Naomi, he'd better double it.
I chuckled. Nash stowed his phone.
I better get back to work.
Have a happy Valentine's Day, I told him. His grin was a heartbreaker.
Will do.
He made it all of 4 feet toward the door.
Oops, I seem to have dropped my necklace, announced Belinda, an elderly, busty patron who preferred her books steamy.
She pointed at the huge crucifix that she'd just unfastened from her neck and tossed on the floor.
Be a dear and fetch it for me, Chief Morgan.
Nash heaved a sigh and glanced my way. I shrugged.
If you don't pick it up, they're just going to keep throwing things on the floor.
I'm ordering new uniforms with tunics, he grumbled.
The citizens who appreciate the male specimen would be devastated, I warned. He bent at the waist and hastily plucked the necklace off the floor.
You just made this old lady's day, Belinda said, smugly returning the crucifix to her more than ample bosom.
Might want to get that clasp checked, Ms. Belinda, seeing as how it fell off in the grocery store last week and in the park the week before that.
I'll do that, she lied glibly.
Shaking my head, I pulled out my phone. Me, did you send me a case of sports drinks or do I have a stalker who's concerned with my hydration? Lucian,
I thought it would be more appropriate than flowers and candy, seeing as how I'm only using you for your body.
Me, you better be stretched and warmed up for go time. I'm not slowing down if you pull a hamstring.
The author event was a rousing success. Or a rousing success, which was absolutely the pun I was going to make in the library newsletter for the week. The readers were excited, the author sold out of all the books she brought, and we ran out of wine before anyone got too tipsy.
Gone home, Sloan. You've been here since opening. We'll handle the cleanup, Blaze offered.
As board members, she and her wife Agatha spent almost as much time here as the employees.
Are you sure? I don't mind.
I had another hour before Lucian would arrive to delight me with his penis.
Positive. I'm sure you've got a handsome someone waiting for you.
She was fishing for information, and I wasn't biting.
What about you and Agatha?
We had our celebratory Valentine's brunch this morning, then changed the oil in the bikes.
And they say romance is dead.
Go on, get out of here. We'll lock up, she said, shooing me away.
If you're sure, I'll just run up and get my stuff.
I'd have time for a quick shower and another run at my legs with the razor before Lucian showed up. I could also spend some time overthinking the lingerie I'd picked out. I was so deep in my head that I was halfway into my office before I realized there was someone sitting behind my desk.
Cheese and crackers!
Lucian Rollins, in disguise in a ball cap and a black hoodie, looked perfectly relaxed, sitting behind my desk reading a book. He raised an eyebrow at me.
Exactly what kind of defense is that?
I looked down and realized I was holding my hands up in a cartoonish Karate Kid posture.
What are you doing here? If someone sees you, the entire town is going to know that we're doing the horizontal mambo before we even get started. I've already had to deal with the knock-em-out Inquisition for the past week with everyone and their brother asking me who I'm sleeping with. I hissed.
I got bored waiting. I thought this might speed things along.
From any other man, it would be a compliment, a statement about how much he missed me. But Lucian Rollins was accustomed to getting what he wanted when he wanted it, and he was using me for sex. Lucky for him, I wasn't about to take the time required to teach him a lesson in delayed gratification, because I was also using him for sex. Blaze and Agatha are locking up, so we can leave as long as you stick to lurking in the shadows, because I do not want to deal with questions about whatever depraved thing this is between us, I explained.
Get your things,
he said, rising from my chair. He closed my copy of The Midnight Library. I noticed my bookmark was still in place, and he was several chapters beyond it.
Are you actually reading that? I asked.
I do know how to read, Sloan,
he said dryly. The amused yet dismissive way his voice caressed my name made me want to smack him in the face with the book. Conversely, It also made me want to take his pants off and use his cock until I couldn't walk. I was still debating between the options when he rounded my desk, fisted a hand in my sweater, pulled me to my toes, and kissed the ever-living hell out of me. There was nothing romantic or sweet about the way his tongue invaded my mouth, the way it conquered me, forcing me to follow its lead. My nipples budded, and my sex actually trembled. I lost the ability to breathe. It was a kiss filled with carnal promises that I couldn't wait for him to fulfill. He released me just as suddenly.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's do that. It took us 20 minutes to make it to the parking lot. There were far too many patrons still lurking behind after the event. After I was stopped for the fourth time on the first floor, Lucian managed to slip behind the circulation desk and duck out the side door without being spotted. Sorry, I said when I found him leaning against my Jeep.
You're inconveniently popular, he said.
Where's your car? I asked.
I had my driver drop me off.
I reached around him to unlock the passenger door. That's awfully cocky of you to assume my blind hatred of you didn't overtake my need for you naked.
I liked my odds.
With that, he took the keys from my hand, opened the door, and tossed my tote inside.
I'm driving.
He had to push the seat the whole way back to accommodate his long legs, but he still managed to look comfortable, confident, as he drove us back to my place. He asked me about the event and the author, and I did my best to answer, even though every sense seemed to be preoccupied with him. That full-body, tingly awareness was even worse now that I knew what his body was capable of doing to mine. It felt like an electrical current charging my blood. He pulled into my driveway, and I leaned over to punch the garage door opener. When we were officially alone and the door slid shut behind us, we exploded. I released my seatbelt half a second before he hooked me under the arms and dragged me over the console. I landed in his lap. One inferno of a kiss and some dry humping later, he pulled back.
Go pack.
What? Why?
We're not staying here.
I thought of the can of whipped cream in my refrigerator, the two new lingerie sets I'd bought. Why the hell not?
Because if we stay here, someone is going to knock on your door or look through your windows or see me naked when they deliver dinner. You have off tomorrow. We're going to my place, where my neighbors know enough to mind their own business.
Your place? There were 6 million things that could and would go wrong with that. First, I couldn't kick him out of his own place when he inevitably pissed me off. He didn't answer me, at least not with words. Instead, he yanked the neckline of my sweater down and buried his face between my breasts. A very convincing argument. I'll pack.
28. Put it on my tombstone. Lucian. I hate to admit it, but your place doesn't suck. Sloane mused over her pad thai. We'd paused our sex marathon to refuel by eating Thai food naked in bed while watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine reruns. It was the most rom-com thing I'd ever done in my life. I leaned over and stole some of her noodles. I'm glad you approve. She was naked, except for her glasses. She'd piled her hair on top of her head with a few efficient twists of her wrists and a flimsy elastic tie. With my 1,000-thread count Italian sheets draped over her, she looked both adorable and sexy. The women I dated, or more accurately took to bed, didn't do adorable. They were well-dressed, well-coiffed, and never seen in public in gym clothes. Sloane, on the other hand, had unironically packed pajamas with hearts. I couldn't wait to see her in them, and strip them off her. She twirled her chopsticks in a circle to encompass my bedroom. It doesn't feel like the lair of an evil villain. It's more like the bachelor pad of a hot, wealthy guy with no personality. The sly look she shot me did her in. We'd both gotten less insulting in the heat of the moment, which meant we had serious ground to make up when my cock wasn't inside her, making her scream my name. I dumped the food cartons on the nightstand and snagged her by the ankle when she tried to escape. You'll pay for that. I anchored her knee between mine, tightened my grip on her ankle, and tickled the bottom of her foot. Sloane shrieked and tried to wriggle free. Apologize, I said mildly. It was a game we'd played when we were different people, and I probably should have left it in the past where it belonged.
Okay, okay, it's the bachelor pad of a hot, wealthy guy whose designer has no personality, she screeched.
My bedroom was done in rich browns. Large, dark furniture dominated the space and was softened by expensive ivory bedding and heavy curtains that currently blocked out the world. Try again.
Ugh! Okay, I'm sorry. You have a very nice place. I definitely don't hate it.
I gave her rounded ass a resounding slap and released her foot. There. That wasn't so hard, was it?
That's what she said.
Her voice was muffled by the pillow. That's not what she said 20 minutes ago, I reminded her, coasting my hand over her bare shoulders, down the silky skin of her back, drawing the sheet with me so I could memorize each notch in her spine. Her body was a fascination, generous curves packed in a tiny, feisty package. I never knew what was going to come out of her mouth next. An insult, or a demand for me to defile her in a new way. It had been a gamble, bringing her here. The less Anthony Hugo and his minions knew about my life, the better. But I'd laid enough false leads for them with the tracker on the company car this week before removing it. Besides, if his men spotted me with Sloane here, she would just look like some woman his enemy was fucking. And knock him out, it would be clear she was much, much more. I lowered myself over her and sank my teeth into one luscious curve of her ass.
Did you just bite me? Sloane demanded as I leaned back to admire my handiwork.
I'm giving you a souvenir to remember our final weekend of debauchery, I said. She clambered to her knees on the mattress and faced me, looking like a golden-haired goddess. I wanted her, again and again and again. And each time I had her, I realized it still wasn't enough.
In that case, I get to give you one too, she announced.
She pounced, and I let her push me over backward, enjoying the feel of her warm, soft body in my arms. Her sleek thighs straddled my own, and when her hand gripped my already hard shaft, I had to grit my teeth to keep from groaning. Not there, I growled. She pouted. My phone rang from the bedside table.
Does your admin usually call you at 10 p.m. on Valentine's Day? Sloane asked, peeking at the screen.
Neither one of us has a life, I explained before answering the phone. Petula, you're on speakerphone and I'm not alone.
Has the world ended and I'm unaware? Petula demanded.
Very funny. What do you want?
Representative Hauser wants to move your lunch forward an hour tomorrow.
I glanced up at Sloane, who was releasing her hair from its knot. Reschedule it. I'm busy this weekend.
Does this have anything to do with your company tonight? You really should let me run a background check on her.
You already did, and it's just business, I lied. A pillow hit me in the face. Sloane pointed at her bare breasts and mouthed,
business.
I have to go, Petula. Something's come up. Sloane smugly studied my hardening cock. Wait, while I have you, I need you to go to this address and take the man who lives there shopping for a new suit this week, I said, then rattled off Emery's address. Something that says eligible widower, not befuddled grandfather.
Consider it done, Petula said. One final thing. I confirmed your reservation for you and your lady friend next Thursday evening.
Sloane's eyes narrowed. Shit. Thanks, Petula. Take the weekend off, I said quickly. I disconnected just as my blonde bed partner vaulted off the bed. Sloane, I said sternly.
Don't even try it, she said, grabbing something off the floor. It was the lacy corset I'd ripped off her. She threw it over her shoulder and bent again. "Are you actually jealous?" I demanded, amused. "Of course not," she huffed. "I just don't want to be cavorting with a penis that's cavorting with other vaginas. It's not hygienic." Sloane Walton was unlike any other woman I'd ever taken to bed. "I'm not cavorting with other vaginas," I said dryly. "Where are you going?" "If you think I'm just going to take your word for it, you're an idiot," she said, gathering her discarded clothing off the floor. "I'd like to point out that of the two of us, you're the one actively pursuing men on a dating app." "I'm not sleeping with any of them, yet." Frowning, she whipped back the duvet cover and felt around under the sheets. "Have you seen my underwear? Never mind, I don't need them." I reached for her, but she dodged me. "I'm not sleeping with my Thursday date either." "Yeah, okay." She gave an unladylike snort and bent for her bag. It gave me the opening I needed. I grabbed her around the waist, lifted her in the air, and tipped us both onto the mattress. "If you don't get off me right now, Lucifer, I'll knee you in the balls. And while it would be a destructive blow to women everywhere, I will do what I have to do," she said fiercely. "You're jealous," I said again, thoroughly enjoying myself. To be on the safe side, I rolled her and settled myself between her thighs before leaning down to kiss her mouth. She softened instantaneously beneath me, but my victory was short-lived when she bit my lower lip. "Ow!" "Serves you right. Now, give me my pants and we'll pretend this never happened." That wasn't an option. "I don't have a date Thursday," I told her. She flailed under me, which didn't help me forget about the raging hard-on I had nestled against her belly. "I'm taking your mother out to dinner." Sloane settled immediately. Her eyes were suspicious behind her now crooked glasses. "You do realize that I can easily confirm that story?" I nuzzled my nose along her jawline and felt pride when goosebumps cropped up on her ivory skin. "We meet every week for coffee or a meal. I make sure she's not falling apart and hiding it from you and your sister. She makes sure I'm not working myself to death. We usually split a dessert, but I'm not sleeping with her." She studied me for a long beat. "Okay, I believe you." "You do? You get irritated when you're hiding something. You just look annoyingly entertained right now." "I find your jealousy annoyingly entertaining," I agreed. "I'm not jealous," she insisted. "I am," I said. Her eyebrows shot up. "You? Why?" "You're still dating. Any day now, you're going to meet Mr. Wright, and then he'll be the one who gets to do this." I dipped my head and closed my lips over one pert nipple. She arched under me, the added friction against my cock driving me wild. I released her breast with an audible pop. "I don't want to be your Mr. Wright, but I might actually miss this warm, willing body of yours when it's no longer at my disposal." Sloane shivered. "Then I guess you'd better take advantage of me now." I wasted no time rolling on a new condom and positioning myself between her legs. Seeing her splayed out beneath me like a banquet to be enjoyed had me counting my lucky fucking stars. A few more fucks and a few more mind-blowing orgasms, and we'd finally be sated. But not yet. I gritted my teeth and sheathed myself in her with one vicious thrust. Those green eyes slammed shut as every muscle in her body tensed around me, under me. Her body teased me by both welcoming me and trying to fight me. I wanted to touch her everywhere, to memorize every inch of her, the full curves of her breasts and hips, the taut flesh of her belly, all that velvet-smooth skin that begged for my teeth. "Tell me what you want," I rasped, withdrawing just far enough to slam back in, forcing the final inch inside her. Her feet moved restlessly against the sheets. "So good," she rasped. "I hate that you're so damn good at this." "Tell me what you want, Sloane," I insisted, punctuating each word with a hard thrust. Her eyes were open now, hands reaching for me, drawing me down against her. "Just you. Give me you."
I lost myself inside her, in the grip and pull of those smooth muscles, in the emerald green of her eyes, in the way she breathed my name as I drove us both up. I couldn't stop. I couldn't pull back, not with the way she was gripping me. "You better get ready to come because I'm about to go off," I warned through clenched teeth. "Shut up and fuck me harder," I obliged, knowing that my orgasm would force hers. She hitched her thighs higher around my hips and took me even deeper. As her breasts bounced against my chest, she reached behind me and sank her fingers into my ass cheeks. "Lucian," she whispered. I came. The churning in my balls fired up the shaft and erupted in a heart-stopping burst. And then she was gripping me, rippling and writhing. We were coming, each wave all-consuming, each crest higher than the last as our bodies fought for every last drop of ecstasy. Jesus, she was beautiful when she came. It was perfect. She was perfect. The way she fit me, the way she begged for what I had to offer, the way she reacted to my basest needs. Every time we let this happen, I convinced myself it would be the last time. And every time we finished, I knew it wouldn't be. Her arms came around my waist and held there. "Good God, man. Do you have to register that thing as a weapon? Oh, where's my root beer? I'm dying. Valentine's Day sex killed me. You can put it on my tombstone." Sloane's muffled voice came from beneath me. I smiled into her hair and decided I'd worry about what this seemingly never-ending need meant later.
29. Getting Stupid. Sloane. Honky Tonk was loud and crowded. There was a band occupying the small stage in the corner, and almost every table was taken. I spotted my friends at the corner of the bar and made my way toward them. Naomi and Lena had their heads together, laughing over something. Knox and Nash stood guard behind them, beers hanging loosely from their hands, sharing wry smiles over something they both found amusing. Steph the chicken had apparently returned to town and was two-stepping with Jeremiah on the dance floor in the middle of a crowd of burly bikers. I felt like a big, dumb idiot at the wave of disappointment that smacked me right in the face. Lucian hadn't said he was coming. It was silly to think that he'd make the drive on a Wednesday night. It was stupid to have even wanted him to. But that was me. Silly, stupid, and now downright disappointed. I'd dressed up for no reason, wasting a perfectly good matching bra and underwear set under the short skirt and tight sweater I thought would make his blood warm. Of course, I hadn't actually asked him to come. We should be done. Finished. Finito. No more sexo. Though we were still flirt fighting over text. But I sure as hell wasn't putting myself out there on a limb. Not with him. And not when I should be focusing on finding my future husband and father of my future children. I tried to shake off my mood as I approached the bar. This was for the best. Lucian was nothing but a distraction from what I really wanted. It was time to forget about his gigantic dick and focus on my future.
"Looking hot tonight, Sloane."
Sherry Fee Fiasco called from behind the bar, where she was helping Silver the bartender sling drinks. She saluted me with her lollipop. I fluffed my hair and blew her a kiss. And on the inside, I wished I'd gone with Sweats. No, I reminded myself. It wasn't a waste. I was hunting for a potential mate. Any guy in here could be the future Mr. Sloane, like that one over there. Mr. Michaels, Chloe and Waylay's handsome teacher, was sharing a beer with two other teachers and mechanic to Lula St. John. He was good-looking, had a great smile, loved kids, and wore glasses. And all I could think about was Lucian's tattooed, naked body ranging over mine. How was a girl supposed to meet a nice guy and settle for normal, non-mind-melting sex now? Was I going to be haunted by the ghost of all the orgasms he'd delivered? Would I compare every lover from now on to him, and would anyone come close to measuring up? I was spiraling over Lucian's spectacular cock.
I needed therapy and a drink. I made a mental note to check out a book or two on hypnotherapy. I'd get over him. Or his sexual prowess, if it killed me. There she is, Naomi said, hopping off her stool and hugging me, despite the fact that we'd spent half the day working together. Sorry I'm late, I said. I was busy fantasizing about my mortal enemy ripping my underwear off and making me scream his name. I didn't say. I was absolutely going to swing by the library on my way home and grab whatever books I could find on breaking bad habits. Knox gave my shoulder a squeeze. His wedding band caught the light, reminding me that if someone could come along and turn Knox Morgan into the marrying kind, I still had a chance at finding Mr. Wright out there. Lena flashed me a grin and a wave. Nash leaned in over her.
What are you drinking, Sloaney?
I think I'll just have a root beer, I decided. Disappointment called for sugar. I'd have one drink, then I'd make my excuses, hit the library, and go home. And then I'd check the battery level on my vibrator. Lena and Naomi boxed me in.
Nash and I took Naomi and Knox to meet Mary Louise this afternoon.
I perked up. How did it go?
We loved her, Lena said.
Naomi's smile lit up the bar.
Even Viking over there couldn't find anything to complain about.
Now that's impressive, I admitted.
Mary Louise is ecstatic that someone is taking an interest, and your interviews have gotten good play, Lena said, her dark red fingernails glittering against the bourbon in her glass. The library fielded 6 calls this week from people interested in the case, Naomi added.
Fran called today. She said there's a podcast that wants to interview me, Mary Louise, and Alan. And she got on the judge's calendar for an informal meeting next week, I said.
This is great progress, Naomi said, nudging me with her shoulder. So why do you look like someone just tried to ban all the books?
Damn my face. It was a long day. So did Steph tell Jeremiah he's ready to become a knock-em-out resident yet? I congratulated myself on my expert-level subject change as we all turned to study the happy couple on the dance floor. Naomi shook her head and rolled her eyes heavenward.
He's convinced himself that Jeremiah is going to think he's a stalker.
What an idiot, I said affectionately.
Speaking of dating, how's your search going these days? Lena asked.
Damn it. I haven't been on any dates in a week, I confessed. A week, 10 days, ever since Lucian's penis invaded my vagina and my dreams.
Hang in there. Mr. Sloan is out there, Naomi said, squeezing my hand. You can't get burnt out already. He's not going to stroll through that door,
Lena said, pointing to the entrance. The door swung open, and I damn near forgot to breathe when Lucifer himself stepped inside, his face serious, another insanely sexy, expensive coat flapping in the breeze. His eyes found me, and I felt a lot of unholy things.
Wow. That would have been pretty great if it had been a different tall, gorgeous single guy, Naomi teased. Uh-oh, Angel. Looks like the boss is here, Nash warned Lena playfully.
Here.
Knox shoved a root beer in my face, forcing me to look away from the avenging Angel of Orgasms as he made his way through the crowd. I could hear my heartbeat over the music. Electricity crackled over my skin. Every cell in my body was acutely aware that Lucian was near.
Thanks, I croaked.
Lucy, what the hell are you doing here?
Knox demanded by way of greeting.
I had business nearby. Thought I might find you here.
His voice, that low, velvety rasp, went straight to my lady parts.
While the Morgans took turns doing the manly shoulder-clapping handshake greeting, I became fascinated by a crumpled dish towel on the back of the bar and tried to talk my body out of a full-blown anticipatory orgasm. The band changed tunes, shifting into Holy by Florida Georgia Line while I tried to calm the hell down.
I love this song, Lena said to Nash.
He already had his fingers interlaced with hers and tugged her off her stool.
Let's go, Angel.
Dance with me?
Naomi asked, sliding her palms up Knox's chest. He leaned down and whispered something in her ear that had her cheeks turning pink.
Don't worry, I'll hold down the bar, I called after them, still ignoring Lucian.
The band's lights had dimmed, making our little corner dark as sin. Silver and Fee were busy on the opposite end. Lucian eased closer, still not saying a word. I reached for my drink, determined to look bored and not at all horny, but my traitor's fingers bobbled the glass and gravity did the rest. Shit! I climbed onto the footrail and reached over the bar to grab a stack of napkins. Warm fingertips ghosted up the back of my thigh, and I froze where I was. Lucian took the napkins from my hand and efficiently tossed them on the spill. His hand came around my stomach, and he lifted me off the footrail. I suppressed a yelp of surprise. He slowly lowered me to the floor, and in doing so, I had the thrill of feeling his erection pressed intimately to my rear end. Finding myself caged between his arms and the bar, I turned. Hi, I said breathlessly. My nipples hardened to points sharp enough to cut through my practically useless bra. He guided me into the dark corner where the bar met the wall and put a hand on either side of my head.
Hi, he said.
His eyes were smoldering, his cock hard, and I was giddy. I wanted to reach out and touch him, but I didn't trust myself to be able to stop. How was your day? I asked.
I don't feel like making small talk, Pixie, he said.
What do you feel like doing? His lips curved into a wolfish facsimile of a smile. He hooked an index finger in the neckline of my sweater. The contact of his skin against mine had my lady parts celebrating.
You.
He'd touched me. That meant I got to return the favor, right? I reached out and cupped the hard length of his erection with my palm. He closed his eyes and pressed himself against my hand. I gripped him hard, and those gray eyes opened. He returned the favor by cupping my breast and squeezing. I was dizzy, breathless, so turned on I was afraid I was about to combust. I thought we were done, I said, even as I began to stroke him through his slacks.
Do you want to be done?
His knee nudged my legs apart. That hand kneading my breast was driving me to distraction. Why did I have to be the one to say I wanted him again? Why couldn't he say it? The beat of the music pulsed through me as our bodies inched closer in our dark corner of sinful secrets. Someone might see us, I said, ignoring his question. His fingers slid inside the scoop of my sweater and dipped beneath the flirty edge of my bra to capture my needy nipple. My legs buckled, but I didn't fall, not with his knee between my legs, his hard thigh making contact with my aching center. I sucked in a breath.
Tell me you want me again,
he ordered as his fingers tugged at my nipple. What if I'm over it? I breathed. His grin was sinful.
I can feel how wet you are for me through my pants. You're not over it.
Are you? I asked.
If I thought for a second I could get away with it, I'd have you bent over the bar with this tiny excuse for a skirt flipped up around your waist and my cock inside you.
My core spasmed recklessly at the image his words painted. Lucian could give a masterclass in dirty talk. Oh boy, I squeaked.
Tell me, he insisted.
I swallowed hard. I suppose I wouldn't be opposed to a few more orgasms, if you think you can deliver them. The rigid length of his penis pulsed under my grip. He tugged harder on my nipple, sending ripples of sensation echoing through my body.
I think I can manage to wring a few more out of you, if you can find a way to keep your insults to yourself.
I can't promise that. It felt so good to be touched by him, to know that I was minutes away from being treated to his spectacular body.
You two aren't fighting again, are you? Because I can reattach those electrodes real fast,
Nox said from behind Lucian's broad back. I jolted and released my grip on Lucian's cock. He took his sweet time removing his hand from my shirt. Apparently, neither one of us had noticed that the song had changed and that our friends had returned. I ducked under his arm and stepped around him. I felt his grip on the back of my skirt and understood what he wanted. I positioned myself between Lucian's bulging erection and everyone else's line of sight.
They're definitely fighting, Lena said, taking a good look at my face. She's all flushed and he's grinding his molars.
We weren't fighting, I said. We were...
having a discussion we need to finish, Lucian filled in.
He gave my ass a hard pinch under the hem of my skirt. I took half a step back, grinding the heel of my boot into the fancy Italian leather of his shoe.
I'll allow it as long as there's no bloodshed, Knox said.
Call if you need backup,
Nash told us. We'll be right back, I promised as Lucian steered me away from our friends. Are you out of your damn mind? I hissed as he marched us down the hall, past the restrooms and Fee's office. The second we turned the corner, his big hand wrapped possessively around my upper arm, and he pulled me against him. His cock was rock hard against my stomach, and then his mouth was molten lava against mine. He kissed the air out of my lungs, the thoughts out of my head, the warning bells out of my ears. One hand fisted in my hair while the other slid down to cup my ass cheek with something that felt a lot like possession. Why do you look so pissed off?
Because I'm not inside you. Because I drove all the way up here and you weren't accommodating enough to be home alone.
My apologies. I didn't realize I was supposed to be at your beck and call, I said, shoving a hand between our bodies and gripping his iron length. He outdid me by dragging the neckline of my sweater down to reveal the spectacularly slutty lace bra I now had no regrets about harnessing my boobs into. His other hand found its way under my skirt to the apex of my thighs.
My little tease.
My brain hooked on the my, but all overthinking ceased when Lucian's beard tickled my neck as his fingers traced the material over my sex. Someone could see us, I said, sucking in a breath. Anyone could take a wrong turn out of the restrooms and end up getting an eyeful of enemies in rut.
Tell them you have to leave,
he growled in my ear. The hand at my breast dove under the lace to palm me, to knead my flesh. We both just got here, I said breathlessly.
Then quit stroking my cock.
But even as he said the words, he pushed his erection harder against my hand. His fingers found their way under the band of my underwear to my sex.
So fucking wet for me. Every damn time,
he murmured before thrusting into me. I was spiraling out of control, and I wanted him to fall with me. I wanted to drive him over the edge. "Please," I whispered, knowing how me pleading set him off. He went rigid against me. Every muscle in his spectacular body was waiting to hear what I wanted from him.
"Please what?"
"Let me taste you." He swore violently, but his erection betrayed him by swelling in my hand. "Let me taste you, then we'll go back, finish our drinks, and get the hell out of here," I bargained. He hesitated, but I felt the need in him. He needed to let me do this.
"Someone is going to come looking for us if we're gone too long," he said, sliding a single finger into my pulsating pussy.
"If you don't let me put my mouth on your cock right now, I don't know if I can go back out there. I just need to take the edge off."
"You're so close to coming,"
he said as my muscles rippled around his fingers. "Please, Lucian," I whimpered. I'd come later. He'd make sure of that. But right now, I needed to feel him at the back of my throat. I needed to take him to the kind of place he took me. He swore darkly and gave my breast another hard squeeze. Then he was releasing me. I couldn't believe it. The man was giving me the one thing I wanted, even though it was the one thing he didn't want. As I worked his fly open, he brought two glistening fingers to his mouth and licked them. My knees buckled, which was fine because the floor was where I had to be anyway. I knelt on the cool concrete, feeling the heat from Lucian's attention as I freed his cock. From this angle, it was intimidatingly huge. The blunt tip was already wet with moisture that leaked from the slit. "Thank you," I whispered. I looked up at him as I opened my lips and took him into my mouth. A shudder rolled through his body, and he pumped his hips convulsively against me.
"Jesus Christ,"
he hissed as I took him to the back of my throat and held him there. Glancing up, I found his head tipped back, hands fisted against the wall. I hummed and he looked down at me. Those gray eyes had fire in them. He reached out and stroked a finger over my cheek. I took that as permission to continue, so I fisted my hand around the root of his shaft and began to move, pulling, sucking him to the back of my throat, then dragging lips and tongue and fingers over him to the tip. He was spewing profanity now, as if I'd snapped nearly every tether of his control. I loved this, the intimacy, the power. I was the one on my knees, but I was in control. He'd given me that.
"Stop."
I immediately froze at Lucian's rough command. He gripped my hair, wrapping it around his fist, and pulled me back until his erection slid free. We stared at each other, both breathing heavily in the relative silence of the hallway. His eyes were half-masked, lips parted. He looked like he wanted more, and I wanted to give it to him. Once again, he skimmed his knuckles over my cheek. The moment was broken by high-pitched giggles and the swing of the restroom door. Lucian scooped me up under the arms and set me on my feet.
"We have to go back before they send out a search party,"
he said, tucking his monstrous cock back into his pants. I was having trouble pulling myself together. The fog of lust had crowded out all my senses except for the ones Lucian currently occupied. I sagged against the wall.
"Stop looking at me like that,"
he ordered as he adjusted his raging hard-on. "How am I looking at you?" I asked.
"Like you need me to fuck you."
To be fair, that's exactly what I need. He gritted his teeth and half turned away from me. Was I driving him as wild as he drove me? As I shoved my boobs back into my sweater, I took inventory of him. His tie was crooked. His usually perfectly coiffed hair was standing up on one side, and his pants looked as if they were in danger of being destroyed by his very insistent erection. "How can you still walk and talk with that thing?" I asked, gesturing at his penis region.
"Do not address my cock right now," Lucian growled.
He was doing some kind of deep breathing exercise and looking everywhere but at me. "It just seems like it gets harder every time. Is that normal? I mean, my boobs feel like they weigh a ton right now. I think my bra is cutting off my circulation." Lucian closed his eyes.
"Pixie, I can't get unhard when you're talking about your tits."
I grinned wickedly. The benefit of being a woman was that you could be turned on without pitching a tent in your pants. "They just feel so swollen, and my nipples are so sensitive." He cursed and bent at the waist. Struggling to regain control, Lucian was downright endearing.
30 minutes.
"What?" I asked.
"We're leaving in 30 minutes. You make up an excuse and I'll follow. Meet me in the parking lot."
A thrill zoomed through me. He wanted to fuck me. He needed to fuck me. I would have done a victory dance if I hadn't been so acutely aware of the wetness between my thighs. "Deal," I agreed. "I'll go back first, and you take a minute to try to stop thinking about taking my bra off and burying your face in my boobs." His growl echoed after me as I danced past him laughing. We lasted 22 minutes. 22 minutes of pure torture. He stood behind me as I tried to focus on conversation with Naomi and Lena. But every time he touched me, his thigh crowding mine when he leaned in to order a drink, his finger tracing the bare skin between my skirt and sweater, I lost all train of thought. Naomi finally gave me the perfect out and asked me if I was tired. "I'm exhausted," I fibbed. "It's been a long couple of weeks, and I'm fantasizing about bed." Neither of those things was a lie. "You've been through a lot," she said with sympathy. "Go home, get some sleep." "You sure you guys don't mind?" I asked, stifling a fake yawn.
"I guess we'll just have to settle for the testosterone trio," Lena said. "Text me tomorrow."
"I will," I promised. "Good night, guys." Knox and Nash said their goodbyes. Lucian pretended to ignore me. I sauntered out of the bar, adding an extra swing to my hips, and I felt him watching me the whole way to the door. I was just unlocking my Jeep when I sensed a disturbance in the force.
"Cheese and crackers, how did you get here so fast?"
"Long legs,"
he said, gripping me by the arm and steering me toward his Jaguar.
"Get in," he said.
"What about my Jeep?"
"If you think I'm letting you out of my sight after that little stunt in the hallway, you're sorely mistaken. Get in."
I got in.
30. I have to see a man about a pile of frozen rats. Sloan.
"No touching,"
he ordered as he put the car in gear. "Geez, bossy much?" I pouted.
"If you so much as graze my dick with your pinky finger, I'm pulling over on a public road, dragging you across this console, and fucking you into oblivion."
"That's not a convincing argument for why I shouldn't touch you."
"If you're a good girl and wait the 4 fucking minutes it takes to get home, I'll strip you naked and worship every inch of your beautiful body with my cock, mouth, and hands."
My hands fisted in my lap. Good enough for me. Drive faster, I told him. My breasts felt heavy and swollen. My clitoris was throbbing, and I was so wet I was thinking about renaming my lady parts Costa Rican rainy season. He'd let me taste him. He'd let me take him in my mouth. My heart pounded at the near victory. The tires squealed when he zipped past my driveway and pulled into his. Neither of us said a word as the garage door rose in front of us. I didn't ask why he'd brought me here instead of my place. I didn't care, as long as he was about to touch me. He pulled forward into the garage, and we were both out of the car in the span of a heartbeat. We met in front of the hood, and he took me by the hand and dragged me to the door. He slapped the garage door opener and manhandled me inside. I was definitely not complaining that the touching moratorium was over. Inside the ruthlessly organized laundry room, I shoved his jacket off his shoulders. It landed on the tile, followed by the coat he all but ripped off me.
"You drive me fucking crazy,"
he said between kisses as we exited the laundry room and entered the kitchen area. "Good," I muttered, kicking off my boots. One landed under the dining room table, the other made it to the kitchen. He grabbed me and kissed me until I couldn't think straight. The hot, hard pressure of his mouth, the dominating strokes of his tongue. I felt cool air and realized he'd stripped my skirt right off. My sweater came next, leaving me in nothing but thigh highs, my bra, and my soaking wet underwear. Lucian's gaze heated as he took a moment to sweep my body.
"How am I supposed to not touch you when this is how you look?"
"Nothing's stopping you now," I said. He opened his belt and I started to lose my mind. The zing of leather as he whipped it free made me tingle from head to toe. He slid his thumbs and his slacks. I paid no attention to them as they pooled at his feet. I couldn't drag my eyes away from the black briefs that were failing to contain his cock. I definitely lost my mind, because instead of sexily unbuttoning his shirt, I yanked with both hands and sent buttons flying in every direction. His smile was wicked, evil, like I'd just done something that had earned a punishment. I couldn't wait to find out what it was. "I hope you don't expect me to pay for that," I told him.
"I can think of a few things I want besides money."
He hauled me against him and boosted me up with one hand on my ass. I wrapped my legs around his waist and plastered myself against him, mouth to mouth, chest to chest. We were moving. He was carrying me somewhere. I didn't care where as long as he stopped long enough to put that monumental dick inside me. My back met drywall. He pinned me against the wall with his hips and opened the front closure of my bra with one deft flick. His growl made my blood simmer in my veins. I lived for that sound of approval. My nipples were hard, straining toward him like flowers following the sun. He dipped his head and fastened his mouth over one lucky nipple. "Gah!" I said as he applied the perfect amount of suction, drawing the pink nub deeper into his mouth. I bucked against him, dangerously close to coming already. I could feel the bare, wet head of his penis as it prodded my thigh. He lavished my breast with attention until the ecstasy had my head thunking against the wall.
"You okay?"
he asked, his voice rough and ragged. "Yes," I breathed. He moved on to the other breast, the other jealous nipple. They felt so full and heavy. Every suck released a letdown of pure pleasure.
"God damn it,"
he murmured, lips moving against my breast. "What's wrong?" I asked, hissing as his chest hair teased my wet nipples.
"Every time I think I'll take my time, that I'll spend an hour just on your perfect fucking breasts, I fucking lose it," he said.
"What?" I didn't get any further than that, because he plucked me off the wall and turned us.
I found myself on my knees, face down on the upholstered ottoman in his living room. My ass was in the air, my face pressed into the blue linen. Lucian hovered behind me, his erection nestled between my legs. I wanted him so damn much I was prepared to beg.
"You baited me at the bar,"
he accused, coasting a hand gently over the flowered silk of my underwear. "How?" I asked, ready to lie.
"That sweater and little fucking skirt. Your fingers brushing my dick when it was already rock hard for you. Those sexy little glances while you played with your straw. I should teach you a lesson."
His fingers curling in my panties, the drag of damp silk against my thighs was an exquisite kind of torture. "As long as your lesson involves you fucking me, I'm all for it," I said breathlessly. His hand resumed its gentle strokes over the slopes of my rear end. I peeked between my legs and watched his penis slide back and forth through my folds.
"I hate not being able to touch what's mine," he confessed.
I was about to point out that our arrangement definitely did not allow for mine talk outside bed. But the hot head of his erection branded me with every brush against my sex. I struggled against him, sliding my knees wider, begging with my body. "Please, Lucian," I whispered.
"I don't have a condom on yet,"
he reminded me. His tone sounded different, like there was something he wanted to ask for. Was it something I wanted too? "I hit the gynecologist last month. All my tests were clear," I said. Then winced. "But I'm not on birth control."
"Vasectomy,"
he reminded me.
"And I was tested 6 months ago."
His hands were still caressing my hips, the crown of his dick still nestled against my sex as if waiting for an invitation. My heart hammered in my chest. He'd probably fucked his way through an entire professional cheerleading squad since then.
"I haven't been with anyone since," he added.
"Seriously?" No wonder he was so explosive.
"Shut up."
"Okay," I said.
"Okay,"
he repeated, prompting me for more. "Put your bare cock in me and make me come, Lucian." I couldn't make it any more clear than that. He tensed against me, and I wished I could see his face. But I forgot all about it as the broad crown notched into place. Yes, there. I shifted back against him, hoping he'd let me take him. But he stilled my hips with his hands.
"It's my turn to play, Pixie."
I'd never been so excited to be threatened before in my life. "Then hurry up and get started," I groaned. "Please."
"Good girl,"
he purred, and then he gripped my hips and thrust himself home. He felt hot and hard and smooth inside me. My body tensed at the invasion. I was beyond wet, beyond ready, but he was so big and the angle was so deep it was still a shock. My head came up. Lucian's palm landed with a stinging slap on my rear end. I let out a yelp as a pleasant heat bloomed across my ass cheek.
"Hold still,"
he ordered through clenched teeth. I let him guide me back down, feeling the length of him as it pulsed inside me. He stroked the sting away.
"You need to relax for me, baby. Relax so I can get all the way in."
My inner walls were quivering in anticipation of a muscle-pulling orgasm.
"Come on, Pixie. Breathe for me."
I wanted to do as he asked. I wanted to please him, because then he'd please the hell out of me. I sucked in a weak breath and then forced it out like a tea kettle. He glided one hand from my neck all the way down my spine.
"Good girl. Do it again."
This time, it was a real breath, and I felt my muscles relax a millimeter. Apparently so did he, because Lucian was withdrawing slowly and then thrusting in, hard. I took him all. I knew it even before his shout of triumph. I was possessed by Lucian Rollins. "I can feel you in my organs," I groaned. He responded with a short, hard upthrust that had me moaning. So full. So gloriously full, I didn't remember what it felt like to be empty.
"You look so good taking my cock pics,"
he murmured, sliding his hands up my back and then around so he could massage my breasts as they hung heavily off the ottoman. "Yeah, well, you feel pretty okay in there," I squeaked. He gave my nipples a hard tweak that had my inner muscles clamping down on him. I could feel the dizzying pulse of blood in his shaft. With nothing between us, finally, I reveled in the scorching heat of his body as it entered mine. I was at his mercy, and we both knew it. And that was the realization that set me off. He was sheathed in me to the hilt, filling me in a way I'd never been filled before. The tension spiraled higher and higher, and all it took was a subtle widening of my knees, and I was coming. I cried out as it rolled through me like a thunderstorm. Lucian held deep as it broke inside me in a spectacular thunderclap release. His growl was feral as I milked his cock from the inside. He let me have it, and then he was moving. Fast, slick drives powering into my quivering core.
"More,"
he said, his fingers bruising my hips with their grip. Sweat slicked our skin where it touched. He powered into me through my climax, drawing it out until I wasn't sure if I was still coming or if he'd set off a new orgasm.
"Fuck, Sloane,"
there was a plea in his tone. His hands tightened on me, and then he was pulling me up, my back to his front, his hand holding my jaw so he could seal his mouth over mine. I could